Finding a therapist who accepts your insurance can be hard. That's why Alma is making it easier to find someone in network. They help therapists accept insurance so that more people can access affordable mental health care. In fact, people who use their insurance for sessions through Alma save an average of 77% on the cost of therapy. When you browse their online directory, you'll see thousands of mental health care professionals who offer both virtual and in-person sessions. Just select your insurance plan to filter by coverage, then use other qualities like specialty and area of concern to narrow down your search. And if you're not sure what your plan covers, Alma can help with that too. Their free cost estimator tool makes it easy to understand your benefits and see what sessions will cost before you schedule your first appointment. Book a free consultation with a therapist today at helloalma.com/therapy60. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Hello, I'm Heather Barnes, food and product photographer and storyteller behind the lens. Our Austin-based team is all about visual solutions. For your brand, it's essential for your product to be memorable and have stickiness. Our clients like Ghirardelli, Tiff's Treats, and Nanamu choose our photography to develop positive associations with their brand. They call our work inspiring because it moves consumers into a relationship with their company. And we can do the same for you. Learn more today at heatherbarnes.com. Focused on you, your story, and your success with memorable photography garnished with love.
Welcome back to Success Made to Last Legends. I'm Rick Tocchini. This show is brought to you by Everett Jones Financial Advisors, along with Play Audio and Heather Barnes Media. Our very special guest today, talking to us from Montenegro, one of our favorite countries in all the world, is Katarina Lingold. She is a former space tech entrepreneur turned brain researcher and mental health advocate. By the age of 23, Katarina sold her space tech startup, I think it's Imagiary, and had become the youngest executive in the world aerospace industry. We love what she's doing now because it's all about agile, and that not being just for tech, but how we can all achieve personal goals. And there's three things that we'll talk about today. Probably a whole lot more than three things, but neurobalance, neurosprint, and neurosurfing. Katarina, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
Nice to have you on. You've had an incredible journey, starting when you were very young. And I want you just to give us some of the highlights of it relative to what you are accomplishing today.
Yeah, for sure. So my story starts in the mountains near Kyrgyzstan. So today's Kyrgyzstan, back then it was USSR. So it's by the border of China. So my family was hit very hard during the collapse of USSR. We were very poor. At times we were literally starving. And as a young girl, I was determined to be successful. Like, I thought that success was the ticket to happiness. And I decided I want to achieve it at all cost. And so the only way I knew how to do it, so I just dove into studies. I studied like a crazy person at school. So I skipped a bunch of grades. And so I ended up in university when I was 14 years old. And then I started working when I was 10. When I was 16, I was making more money than my parents. I already had a small company and people working for me, and I started collecting master's degrees, got several before I received scholarship, and it was scholarship to study at MIT. So I flew across the Atlantic to MIT, learned that success in the US is more than just money. It's also making an impact and changing the world. And it was clearly very important to everybody I met at MIT. So I thought I have to do something really big and very impactful. And there was nothing at the time that I knew could be bigger than space tech. So I joined forces with some of the kids from aerospace department. And I was studying computer science and doing an MBA at the time. And I was like, okay, let's build something. And so we came up with a crazy idea of processing satellite data. you know, just creating a pipeline for data processing and extracting insights from that data. It was back in the days when machine learning and artificial intelligence wasn't spoken on every TV channel. And, you know, using exactly that to make predictions, you know, economic activity predictions. And so I started building that company when I was 19, raised capital, sold it when I was 23. It was sold to an aerospace company in Mountain View. Right in NASA, we had a beautiful garage where we were building a constellation of satellites. Some of those satellites are flying above us right now as we speak. And I was vice president of that company when I was 23 years old. And I see you smiling and thinking like, whoa, what a beautiful fairy tale story. But it wasn't one. It wasn't a fairy tale story. It was a story of sacrificing everything for what I thought was a ticket to happiness, but it wasn't. And so I remember myself at the age of 23, and I was given interviews, and I was like speaking on stages of aerospace conferences, one of the few women, certainly the youngest by a huge margin, and feeling completely empty, completely burnt out. I just wanted to be left alone. I didn't want anything. Things that I used to love no longer excited me. And when I was 25, I decided to leave my position as a vice president, career that I was hoping to build my entire life, worked so hard for. And I was just, I need a break, and I need to figure out what does it mean to have a good life? What does it actually mean? And what does it consist of? And I wasn't ready to go like full downshifting, like go to Bali and like surf for the rest of my life, because I felt that I can contribute. I wanted to continue contributing to, you know, I wasn't just ready to retire altogether. I knew that I had some value to bring to people, but I also knew that I can't do it the way I've been doing it so far. And so the only way I knew how to solve problems is by learning about them and, you know, diving into research. And so I decided I'm good. I had 5 degrees at that time, and I thought, well, might as well study some stuff. And at that time I didn't go to university, but I started studying neuroscience, neurobiology, psychology, just looking for tools for myself, something that would be like very solid science-based, because I wasn't ready for some woo-hoo stuff. Not that there is something wrong with it. It's just not how I need to understand how something works. I wasn't ready to meditate until I knew how meditation impacts my brain circuits, you know? And so I started looking into it, and science proved methods, and my life started to improve, and people around me started noticing that. And some of the tools that I kind of merged from my business background with modern neuroscience, and I started sharing it. And I was surprised to see that the problem that I faced was a very common problem of so many people who grew up in scarcity, who wanted to make it in life, worked really hard for it. And some of them reached it at 23, 25, some in their mid-30s or 40s or 50s. It doesn't really matter. But there is a point where people realize, hey, this is just not the whole story. Financial and career success is not the whole story, but nobody tells you the rest of the story. And it feels like it's part of your identity. So yeah, I started sharing this, saw huge, huge demand for it, specifically like science-based tools. And I decided I'm gonna work in that domain. There's nothing cooler than the space, like the cosmos that happens here versus the one that is a few hundred kilometers above us. And so I started Neurointegration Institute, the thing that I'm extremely proud of. We've trained more than 27,000 people, touched lots of lives. And here I am today talking to you, hopefully sharing some of the tools that we've developed, that we've tested, and we've seen work really well.
That is, I think, one of the singular most intriguing odysseys for a person who's gone from what we would call success. Now you're into the field of significance.
Well, thank you.
And you sped it up. It's almost like, I know that sprint is an important word to you. And when you look back on it, it looks like, outsider looking in, that it was a sprint to all these different positions and plateaus and titles, et cetera. But we marvel at people who have that epiphany and where they have that epiphany in life of what's it all about. And I think you, of the thousands of people we've interviewed, you may be the singular youngest to have ever come to this conclusion and then said, what can I do to bring all of these talents together and somehow blend my vocation with my avocation?
And it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life.
It sounds like it, because you don't talk about making X amount of profit for shareholders. You talk about 27,000 lives that have been changed. And think about that concentric circle around the 27,000 who went home and taught their families and or their communities or their nonprofits, everything. So there's this tremendous ripple effect. And I want to talk about, what did those 27,000 people learn? What do you think, if we had one or two of them on with us today, what do you think they want to tell you has made the greatest impact in their lives?
I think that's ultimately the understanding that when you really make sense of how your brain works, and we've learned so much about it, it is a path to radical transformation in all spheres of your life. It is a path to self-love. It is a path to better relationships. It is a path to productivity that is not fueled by pure dopamine more, but also success that is fueled by gratitude and serotonin based enough. And we can talk about that as well, the difference between these two types. It when you understand and train your brain, you completely change your life. I don't think there is anything you can do, you can buy, you can achieve, any skill that you can develop that will have even 1% as much of an impact on the quality of your life and the ripple effect you create around yourself than understanding and training your brain. And we live in the time where you can actually understand this beautiful thing. You know, we've learned in the past decade more about human brain than the entire history of humankind. We're so lucky. And it's not something that people widely use in schools, in companies, you know, in family life. You know, like we have this incredible, precious knowledge that has so much power, and we don't use it as much as we could. And I think applying some of the tools, understanding the principles behind them, and watching people's life change the same way that mine has changed has been such a gift. We've just finished a cohort of more than 2,000 people who completed a 3-month program, and it's phenomenal. There's some interesting things. You kind of asked about, like, what do people share? I mean, people report improved productivity, reduced stress levels, but this is kind of like, you know, things you typically measure, like, you know, shareholders' returns. But some people say, you know what, like, I'm sitting with my kids and I'm like, for the first time, I'm hearing and seeing them, you know. Some people say, like, you know what, I started noticing rainbows. Not that they were not there in the past, but we were rushing through life. And like, who has time to look at rainbows? And they're out there, you know, we just don't pay attention. And that is all coupled with improvements in their work life. You don't have to escape the reality of the modern world. Those things, they fit into each other. And I'm happy to share how, like, a lot of people see, like, this whole, like, self-care as almost like self-indulgence, like, you know, yeah, here you are, selfish person, indulging in all of the self-care activities. The reality is those are the exact things that fuel sustainable success and contribution to the world. So it's been pretty remarkable.
It is more than pretty remarkable. I do not want to give away all of your precious secrets today, but I do want you to take a deeper dive into what is neurosurfing and how can our listening audience start neurosurfing today?
If you do not mind, though, I would suggest, because there's neurosurfing, neurobalance, neurosprints, the three kind of layers of the system. And neurosurfing is kind of the middle layer. So we can either go from the outside, from neurosprints, the agile sprints that you use for personal productivity, or from the very center, which is neurobalance. And then the middle layer kind of makes a little bit more sense. So what would you prefer? Like neurobalance, managing stress, or managing time?
I want to cover all three. I knew you were going to say that because I saw the diagram and where it was positioned. Let's start with neurobalance and then go out so you can give a better explanation of surfing.
Yeah, for sure. So the method that we have developed, it's basically three things. The first thing is how you feel. It's managing the activation of your nervous system. This is neurobalance. Mm-hmm. The second thing is neurosurfing. It's about the system of thinking. So first, how you feel. Second, how you think. And it's all about self-sabotage and how we go in circles, oftentimes wasting energy, like running, like little hamsters in our spinning the wheels. And the third thing is neurosprints, which is the system of action, which is very adaptable, which we all need in the modern world. So this is the three pieces. Neurobalance is a very simple tool that can be used for toddlers, for grown-ups in big organizations. You mentioned Procter & Gamble. We did a pilot with them, very successful pilot. So the idea is that you need to understand how your stress response works in order to manage it. So a lot of people see stress as a bad thing. Stress is not a bad thing. It's our body's adaptability system. Hmm. When something changes, for better or for worse, our nervous system triggers this change and then notices the change and triggers stress response. Stress response changes some stuff in your brain. So like dopamine, norepinephrine, you get more alert. And then it also fuels your bloodstream with the supply of energy by releasing cortisol and by giving you also like increasing your heartbeat so you can run faster with adrenaline. So this is kind of the stress response cocktail, if you will. And when you get into this stress response, your parts of your body, some of the systems like your immune system and digestion system, it has to shut down. Like, you know, think of it, if you don't have a lot of energy, you have to shut off some of the functions, right? So, And this is totally cool to do temporarily. Like our body's designed to experience stressor.
Finding a therapist who accepts your insurance can be hard. That's why Alma is making it easier to find someone in network. They help therapists accept insurance so that more people can access affordable mental health care. In fact, people who use their insurance for sessions through Alma save an average of 77% on the cost of therapy. When you browse their online directory, you'll see thousands of mental health care professionals who offer both virtual and in-person sessions. Just select your insurance plan to filter by coverage, then use other qualities like specialty and area of concern to narrow down your search. And if you're not sure what your plan covers, Alma can help with that too. Their free cost estimator tool makes it easy to understand your benefits and see what sessions will cost before you schedule your first appointment. Book a free consultation with a therapist today at helloalma.com/therapy60. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
And now a public service announcement from Carolers Against Bad Gifts.
'Tis the season to be lucky.
La 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 la, lots of cash.
We would love a few scratch tickets.
La 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 la, lots of cash.
I don't need a nose hair trimmer.
La 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 la, lots of cash.
I could be the next big winner.
La 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 la, lots of cash.
This season, give them what they really want. Give them holiday scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Physical stressor, for the most part of our evolution. and then respond to it with temporary increase of all these hormones. And this is all good. And so the way you can think about it, here you are in the green zone where everything is solid, your homeostasis, and then something changes and you get in the red zone. Red zone is this activation zone. So your heart is beating, your cortisol is elevated, you have high dopamine, high norepinephrine, you're alert, focused, all of that. And this is good as long as your stress cycle is followed by recovery. So there's a trigger, there's response, there is recovery. When you recover, you calm down, you take a little bit of a break without any additional stimulation, and then your immune system kicks in, digestion kicks in, you leave the stress cycle stronger, smarter, more resilient. This is the normal thing that makes people better. Now, if you are experiencing recurring stressors, so there's a trigger, there's response. This response elevates your cortisol level. So when your cortisol level is elevated, you become more sensitive to other stressors. And then there is another thing. You read another piece of news. There is another email with some unpleasant or even pleasant surprise. You know, you don't necessarily have to be fired to have a stress response. You can be promoted. And so you have, in the modern world, you have stacks and stacks and stacks of new stressors without a chance to come back to the recovery. And so what happens is that you're supposed to go from green zone to red zone and back to green zone and just kind of bounce back and forth, right? Now, you left the green zone, you went to the red zone, there's a new stressor, you went further in the red zone, there's a new stressor, you go further in the red zone. And so your cortisol levels progressively increase. Your body has no time for recovery. The part of the brain that triggers stress response, it's called amygdala, it becomes super sensitive. So when you have high cortisol, it makes you more sensitive to stress. Like when somebody cuts you off on the road, you become more agitated and you watch out for other cars for the next like 20, 30 minutes with so That's much right. more diligence. So this is the reality. And we are in this red zone being super sensitive more and more and more. And then at some point, our brain and our body has a shutoff mechanism, which is, hey, the levels of cortisol are so high, we need to reduce the sensitivity of our sensors to cortisol because it's just too much. Like think of it as, you know, when we, I don't know, like your car, you've been pushing it faster, 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 faster. And at some point, it just shuts off. And this is what I call blue zone. So neurobalance is this, and this is burnout. And this is what 79% of people in the United States experience. 79%. You're lucky if you find somebody who's not. And so as an outcome, like we spend so much time in the red zone without recovery. And instead of becoming smarter, more resilient, more capable, we become sick. We become irritated, almost paranoid, because in the red zone, we are exactly that. And if we spend too much time in this red zone, we get numb. We become disinterested because all the sensitivity just is decreased. You know, one of the ways to imagine it is like you go to a loud concert, you spend some time listening to super loud music, you leave it, you kind of semi-deaf, you know? Okay. And so the same way happens to your receptors. And a lot of people in the modern world, instead of spending like 95% of time in the green zone, spend the majority of their time swinging between red and blue zone. And there are certain signals that you can spot when you're just starting to shift in the red zone. There are certain ways how you can create what I call islands of predictability, where you can create recovery and build that recovery into your daily plan. Because when you're working out, you're very serious about working out, you have, you know, recovery days. You have a schedule. You have an understanding that your muscles need recovery in order to grow. Well, guess what? This is physical stress. Psychological stress works exactly the same way with exactly the same hormones. And you need exactly the same recovery day where not pushing yourself. And you can create it by enabling, like in your calendar, you can have islands of predictability. I had a really stressful, very intense last few weeks. I came to Montenegro this is my island of predictability where nothing happens. You know, it's a beautiful place where nothing happens. You know, our interview is the most stressful, if you will, exciting, but still, thing that has happened to me in the past few days. And this is what you want to incorporate. And you don't have to come to Montenegro for this. You can go to a local park during your lunch break. You can create an evening ritual that happens over and over again that gives your body a chance to metabolize the cortisol and go back to green zone, at least for a little bit. Because the difference between a person who is sick and who is really resilient, they both experience stress. The question is, if one comes back to green zone from time to time, the other one doesn't. We don't have to prevent stress. We have to create islands of predictability. So that was a big paradigm shift for me. Like, I realized that my schedule is a combination, is like layers of exposure to stressors, challenges. I love challenging myself and it's fun for me, but it should be layered with moments of boredom, of routine, of, I don't know, like, people do different things, puzzles, gardening, I don't know, walks with the dog without a phone and a podcast in your ears. I'm sorry for those who are listening to this podcast on the walk, but you need to turn it off sometimes, guys. And so that you spend more time in the green zone. And one of the things we do, we monitor every morning, where am I on that spectrum? And if you've spent a few days waking up in a red zone, there are different indicators. Because when your sensitivity increases, when you kind of start shifting in the red zone, you get more sensitive to external stimuli. So smells, sounds, they become more irritating. People obviously become more irritating. And you can kind of spot your own, like I have very sensitive skin. So like certain clothes, they become kind of itchy. Mm-hmm. And you can like notice the first signs of that. You can notice that when your response is a little bit more and you know, hey, I need a little bit of an island of predictability here so that I can give my body time to recover and then I can dive back in. And this becomes so important. Now, when we have so much change, techno stress is a real thing. You know, in the past, you only needed stress response ever so often. You know, there are only so many tigers that pass by throughout the day, you know, but today, the change, the pace of change, plus the amount of uncertainty, which is a whole different category of stress-inducing thing, it's just so much that if you don't deliberately create those islands, you will never be in the green zone. Now, when you're in the green zone, this is actually when you are capable of making smart decisions, because when you're in the red or in the blue zone, your prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain that actually allows us to make sound, logical decisions, it's suppressed. It has exact. Think of it as like a CEO of a company that, you know, is just gone. Like everything goes, mm-hmm. you know, for some time, it's more or less okay, but quickly things go completely off the track. So I like to think of my prefrontal cortex as the CEO. I need his guidance from time to time. I need to go back to the screen zone. And so then the question is how you create those islands for yourself. And it's very doable. It's no magic. You can do it in a few weeks and build this into your life. You don't have to go to Montenegro, to Bali, to mountains and to become a monk. It's all very compatible with everyday life. I manage 86 people right now. It's not huge, but it's something. And, you know, you can still do it.
You can. You can indeed. That was so well articulated and inspiring at the same time. It makes me wonder about how we speed through life and multiple careers and decades and never find the island. And there's got to be a greater reason for you to have gone through all of the adventure that you've been through in your own personal odyssey to be able to speak so well about this today. And it makes so much common sense.
Right. When you like see it for the first time, you can't unsee it. You're like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah. And then you're like, when you're not doing this, like, you know where you're heading, right? Like if you're ignoring this, like you know the path, you know the journey, and you could choose this journey, but probably it's not the one you want. And this is why self-care is an investment. It's not a self-indulgence. You need Green Zone to make good decisions as the leader, as a parent. You need Green Zone to see rainbows, because you can bring yourself to Montenegro, but if you're in a red or in blue zone, you're not receptive to any of the good things that happen here. You just can't. The parts of the brain that appreciate the good currently are not engaged, because you are in a state of prevention of threats. When you're doing this, everything in your body and your brain, for a good reason, is searching for problems or threats or concerns. And so lots of people, they bring themselves on vacation, but again, they bring the whole baggage with, and it doesn't help. I mean, it's better than nothing, but understanding the mechanism, seeing that you can't just do it a few times a year, it's a thing that you need on a daily, on a weekly, on a monthly basis.
That's right. It's got to be almost like an IV that's in you all the time. And, you know, there's this small little $17 trillion travel industry that we have. Yeah. And we've studied it from a sensory perspective. And what we've learned is that mostly Americans take 3 to 4 days once they reach a destination to relax. And then there's this short period of time, then they're back on the treadmill and back in the wrong zone. You've colorized them. I call it the wrong zone. So they've never really rested. And they probably, what I've learned from what you've taught is recognizing that I can be the most creative and the most lucid and imaginative and collaborative with people of diverse skills when I'm in the zone, the very zone that you've described.
Zone, yeah.
And part of it is driven by rest.
Yes. Yes. And if you want to be a good salesperson, you want to be a good educator, you want to be a good CEO making great decisions, you want to be a good venture capitalist, this is my side thing, this is all dependent on your prefrontal cortex. And if you're sabotaging, it's literally suppressed. Activated amygdala suppresses prefrontal cortex. It's clear as day on an MRI scan. And any executive control where you override your instinct requires prefrontal cortex activation. And there's a beautiful neurotransmitter called GABA that prefrontal cortex uses to calm down our emotional limbic system so we can actually execute based on long-term plans and logic versus here and now emotional responses and instincts. You need that. If you don't have it, you will be making impulsive decisions and then you will later justify them for sure. Next time you're in a green zone, you find a good justification for all of your rushed decisions, but not necessarily what you want.
Yeah. I think that you are right on all the points that you discussed today. And I think that our listening audience needs to learn more about you, especially the CEOs that listen to this show that want to change the culture of the company. So how do these listeners learn more about you today?
Yeah, for sure. I would love, one of the biggest things, when we're just preparing for this ripple effect, I would love to give it to people, to leaders who care for both the productivity of their employees and the way they feel. It's beneficial for everybody, right? So our website is neurointegration.org, and you can find some details on that. And my Instagram is Katarina Langold. I'm responding there by myself to this day, even though it's more than 100,000 people. So I would love to hear from you, find an opportunity to run a pilot. We are doing a lot of work with companies. We recently did a pilot with Procter & Gamble in Europe. It was very, very exciting to see how it starts with a leader who tries it, sees it, sees the impact, and then it kind of ripples. And it's more than just a culture difference. For me, it was a paradigm shift. Like you look at care, self-care from a whole different perspective.
Yeah, I'm totally fascinated. I thank you so much for being on today and taking time from your zone. But the reach that you will have to all these individuals hopefully will matter. And I just wanted to close by telling you, well done on moving from success to significance.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. I think it's just the beginning of the journey. And honestly, it's not the end point that matters, which you learn when you study the brain. I think significance is not the destination, it's the journey.
There you go. Exactly. Well, we close every show by wishing everybody a successful life on their way to significance. And it's nice to speak with someone like you today. Thank you so much and be well. Enjoy your time over there. And let's talk again.
Let's do that. We have two more pieces to discuss.
That's right. Thank you. That was Katarina Lengo. And we really appreciate her being on the show today. And folks, as we always say, we do wish you success, but consider your way to significance as well. Have a good one. To all my brand and marketing leaders out there, I want to let you in on a little something. Audio advertising is one of the most efficient ways to speak to your consumer. I mean, you hear me now, right? The best way to take advantage of audio is to find the right audio agency who can help you navigate all the ins and outs of digital broadcast and podcast advertising. And I found the perfect partner for you, and that's Play Audio Agency. Say it with me, Play Audio Agency. Play offers services that cover advertising and communication, audio branding, podcasting, original brand music, and more. Let them deliver an audio strategy that drives a deeper emotional connection to your consumer while you sit back and do the things that you love, like listening to my podcast. Hey, find them at playaudioagency.com to harness the power of sound for your brand. That's Play, P-L-A-Y, audioagency.com to learn more.
Space, the great cosmic expanse where man meets galaxy. And until now, the only way to see it was decades of intense astronaut training. But now, it's your chance to explore the edge of space with a lucky scratch. The Texas Lottery is giving you the chance to explore the stratosphere. Play $1 million cash blast scratch tickets and enter for a chance to win a luxury trip to the edge of space. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.